from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm getting Chisholm. That'd be my prediction for Jazz. Seattle, Yankees still in there. Josh Bell, he was pretty good in Pittsburgh. He's certainly a threat. I could see him for Pittsburgh as well.
We'll just raid the Marlins.
Jazz Chisholm and Josh Bell.
Would you rather have that or just Brent Rooker bringing the 950 OPS to town?
Ooh, that is a great question.
Brent Rooker costs less, for sure, has to, than those two combined. What do you get more out of there?
I'd rather have Rooker because he's just the better player.
He's mashing.
I know, but that doesn't solve your biggest problem, which is center field.
I know. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Bell can't play right field.
No.
He can't throw.
He's DH and first baseman. What if Bell was actually freed up by playing right field and he just let it go?
So if they were to do that, they would have to coax and cajole McCutchen into playing right field.
Yeah, and Bell's not having a very good season, by the way.
What are the numbers?
What do you think his OPS is right now?
691.
651.
Yikes.
OPS plus 80. 10 homers, 42 runs batted in.
So he's had the opposite of
Rowdy.
Rowdy. He was better in May, and it looked like he was coming to life, and then he's completely cooled off at the same time.
Josh Bell,
hefty first baseman, is
831 OPS in May.
Come alive.
Hold on. Listen to this. This is even worse. Josh Bell, 831 OPS in May, 554 in April, 656 in June, 529 so far in July.
I mean, do you think that's a baseball money laundering situation, in air quotes? Eesh. I mean, where I'm saying, we'll trade you Jazz Chisholm.
But you got to take Josh Bell.
You got to take his contract for the rest of the year.
Martin Perez would get dealt because the Pirates would then do the other thing. We're acquiring Josh Bell's contract. We need to offload Martin Perez, which I wouldn't be that upset with. If it ultimately was Jazz Chisholm coming here.
Or would you just flip Josh Bell to another team? I don't know.
Chisholm's having a good year, but Chisholm's not having what I would call a great year. But he's having a good enough offensive year for a center fielder.
He's Willie Mays compared to your center fielders.
No, I'm aware. For a center fielder, his offensive numbers are more than fine. He's going to get on base at an okay clip. He's going to hit for enough power that you're happy at the up-the-middle position. You know, a guy who's playing premium defensive spot.
There was a report that the Yankees are uninterested in Jazz Chisholm because of his personality. Now, on Friday, I was told that there is a belief out there that he is just not the type of guy who would thrive in one of those cauldron situations.
The anti-Jeter.
Where Boston, New York, Philadelphia.
Where they're all over you the second it goes wrong and they really never let up.
That he could go whole months in Miami not having to talk to a reporter because there's such little interest in that team. And I think we're a fair media market. I don't think we beat athletes up. I don't think our reporters are bulldogs that way where they're like looking to tear guys down.
No, I would say it's mainly people like me and you who are looking to do that. It's a very interesting distinction. It's not only the talk show hosts in Philly, New York, Boston. The reporters, remember like Manish Mehta for the Jets?
He like camped out in front of a GM's kid's school, which was really messed up.
Yes, the reporters are psychotic.
So just because the Yankees have an issue with the personality of the player does not actually scare me off in this situation. What makes me a little worried about Chisholm is he very rarely plays an entire season.
Although he has stayed healthy, knock on wood, this season. He's played basically every game.
And he's a good hitter, not a great hitter. So he would be a massive upgrade over what they have in center field, but I would not expect if he comes here single-handedly, he's the type of guy that puts the Pirates over the top and automatically makes them a playoff team.
He would become the third best hitter in their lineup, I think.
Behind Cruz and Reynolds?
Yeah.
How about the way Tellez is going right now?
If you drop him in like right this second, yeah, Tellez is probably your third best hitter. He'd become your fourth best hitter. But dude, when you talk about this,
it still looks, means he's better than five other guys,
Chris. Looks so much different. It looks so much different to say Nick Gonzalez, who has a clear knack, it seems, for delivering in big moments, becomes like your fifth best hitter.
Yep.
Man, that feels a lot better to look at that lineup if you have four guys ahead of him that you like more than him. I guess when Bart is in there, you have to reconfigure how you view the lineup because I feel like Bart still hits it pretty well.
Yes. Yeah. Much better than Grandal.
Well, I might be much better than Grandal. I might get hit by a couple pitches because the pitcher's offended he has to face me.
I think Bart's one of Ben Cherington's best moves. That was a dumpster diving move that has paid off in spades for them. So that's what Heyman says, that he thinks the Pirates are going to pick up Jazz Chisholm. Let me just ask you guys this question. If that is the Pirates' move at the deadline, is that enough to satisfy and quench your thirst for Pirates additions? If that's really it, they get the Marlins center fielder. Will Donnie give the Pirates a thumbs up for the trade deadline? Yes or no?
And that's the only move they're making.
That's their move.
I mean, I would have to agree that he's absolutely an upgrade over what they've had. I mean, you know that I'm not huge on the player himself, but we have.
Is this one of those things where you have to know what they're giving up in the deal to like?
I mean, I'm not
make up your mind.
Shane Baz.
I'm not going to talk about it as if like everybody else who's going to be cynical and think, well, they can't go for it too big because look what happened to Chris Archer, because you just simply cannot have that philosophy going down the road.
If you found out they traded Quinn Priester for Jazz Chisholm, would you mind it?
Straight up?
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm good with that.
Henry Davis.
Good with that.
No. I mean, I would hold on to Priester before I held on to Davis.
Thomas Harrington.
Out of sight, out of mind.
That's
for
fine.
Me.
Solometto.
Having like the worst minor league season in history, isn't he? Isn't he terrible right now?
He's not having a good year.
So that's a yes? You'd do that?
I would part with that.
Tamar Johnson.
Man, he was really bad early, but he's turned it on, which gives me a little bit more hope about the guy.
You have Jazz Chisholm for a couple of years still.
So what's your answer?
He isn't a pure rental, Donnie.
I'd probably still do it.
If it makes you feel any better, when we had the Marlins expert on, Craig Mish from Miami, he said he didn't think that Tamar Johnson would be required to make that deal.
Really?
Yeah, he did not think that they would need to give up that much.
What did he project there? I wasn't in that day.
He said that he thinks it might be a couple of guys that are like guys in low A ball or A ball who are years away but have
like lottery
upside.
Tickets?
Yeah, that have potential.
Man, I would...
Do
for
it.
Right now, yep. Lottery tickets, that becomes even easier. And I don't love the player here, but I like the player well enough. For lottery ticket low A guys, that's like an automatic yes.
And the thing I like about Bell, like independent of how much money he's making and what a turnoff that would be
good
for the Pirates.
In the room too.
Not only that, but you know, if Tellez cools off, he could be a failsafe. He could be like,
he's an insurance policy for Tellez.
Yeah.
And plus, we could get Josh back on the show when he would like see you and say like, "Hey, tell Mulsey I said hi."
Correct. That
we
happened.
Had a great relationship. We asked him if his dad could like bend steel bars
yes.
and stuff.
Yeah, so I would like that. So I'll go to you. So if that's their big move, you're fine. You would.
I'm okay with that because they got one of probably who have been the three most mentioned players or four most mentioned players on the move. Rooker now he's picking up momentum.
Chisholm
for sure.
Here are the guys that Ken Rosenthal listed off. So let's see if they
wait. Who are the other two that we have been
the guy batting right now for the Angels?
Yep, Ward.
Yeah, but he. Oh, he's got a single today. That constitutes
on
like a
base
huge
twice,
game,
baby.
Wow. No, but there have been two other big names. Why am I blanking on both of them that we've talked about?
Oh, Luis Robert.
Yeah, Luis Robert Jr. and then one other guy with team control who I'm, again, just completely...
Did you say Rooker?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm completely crapped out on it. Somebody like Luis Robert Jr. But anyway, they'd be getting one of the handful, easily five best position players that are being dangled out there as obviously available. I'd be pretty good with that. I would say that is decently,
Here's
well
Rosenthal's
done
list of guys who he knows to be available at the deadline who are outfielders. Randy Arozarena in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Conforto in San Francisco. Mike Yastrzemski in San Francisco. Taylor Ward in L.A. Jazz Chisholm in Miami. And then in Washington, Lane Thomas and Jesse Winker, who we've talked about a little bit. Those are guys he knows for sure are probably going to get dealt.
I mean, Chisholm, again, I think Chisholm is a good player. I don't think he is by any stretch a great player. He is something of an injury risk, but if that was their move, you know why I'd say like an easy yes for me? It just shows we know we have a very specific weakness on this team, and we are directly addressing it with this player.
Interesting that Rooker didn't make the list, probably because there's enough years of control there, and he's so cheap that the A's don't have to trade him.
But yet Dallas Braden paradoxically said it wouldn't cost much to get him.
And he basically said, he made it sound like he thinks it might be a fluke with Rooker and you got to trade him while the
if it is a fluke, then any return would be a steal because it also sounds like Brent Rooker literally can't play defense.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We can make a move anytime it becomes apparent it's the right move. Like, there are things we could have already done. There are things we could do today if we wanted to, but we haven't found yet the match that makes sense for us. I don't think we're waiting for things to clear up. I think every team is acknowledging and aware that it's a little bit of an atypical deadline in terms of the amount of sort of traditional sell-by teams, and a lot of teams that are somewhere in between, you know, wanting to improve, not looking to take a step back in their major league team, but wanting to improve, and you have more of those and fewer maybe traditional sellers, it just means that the conversations are different.
I just, every time Charrington brings up the idea that there are teams out there that are put into a box, buyer or seller, I can't help but think he's talking about himself. We don't know yet with this guy because his only trade deadlines with the Pirates have been as a seller. The shoe has never been on the other foot. I know in Boston he had a reputation for being one of these guys that hoarded prospects and didn't want to touch his best young players and didn't want to give them up in deals. That's what the Boston sports media thought of him before he got run out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That answer of saying there are things we could have already done and there are things we could do today. I mean, that just makes me feel like...
Are they crappy moves you could do today?
Yeah, he either thinks he's going to get ripped off in a deal.
Which you would be more prone to thinking if you're a prospect hoarder, that every deal that requires you to give up prospects.
I'll give you another one on Huntington. I know for a fact, because we used to have a couple of people here that were NFL Major League GMs who had worked for the station at a time, that Neil Huntington had a reputation around baseball for being a guy that always had to win the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ben one of those guys? I mean, if he's saying that a trade could have already been made, that like makes me think that he feels like other GMs want to take advantage of him or fleece him.
I mean, you could make a trade that might end up being a slight loss for you in the long run if like the one of the players you deal is great. But if
I mean, that's Zane Smith for Moises Alou all over again, and I think Pirates fans ultimately were fine with that
trade. That's what I mean. If you get a player that helps you in the here and now, and this team even goes to like an LCS largely because some player you bring in really helps them down the stretch and then in the playoffs, was that really a wasted trade? Like, oh, God, we lost again. Got absolutely hoodwinked there. I'll never do this again. You can't exist that way as a GM. I understand the temptation to feel that way if you're in a small market where you need to have a lot of your developed and drafted guys hit, but you can't be that to a fault.
Mike texts in and wants to know if they trade for Chisholm, but then they turn around and they trade Chapman to try to make the money work. Because remember, there was that Parado report about how the money just isn't there. I mean, if John is right and they need to make sure everything is balanced and everything is
copacetic equal, in that way.
Yep, just about equal. If they added Chisholm but made their major league bullpen worse, would you be okay with that, Don?
I wouldn't love that.
I wouldn't
making
love
the bullpen directly
I wouldn't love that either.
Worse. And
the bullpen is finally starting to come on here. Like those 7, 8, 9 guys suddenly are starting to look a little more like they were supposed to look.
Yeah, that's actually looked very good lately.
Chisholm and Chapman don't play the same position, but that's like when, remember, and O'Neill Cruz ended up coming back in the trade, so in the long run it worked out. But when Huntington traded Watson, and then it's like, oh no, I don't want my clubhouse to freak out and think that we're giving up. So then he traded for Joaquin Benoit, like right after that,
yes.
The same like
yes.
Like, he would do those moves for a couple years there.
That's also tough because we've talked about this recently too. It's almost like baseball karma in a way. Like if they would make that move and then bang, they get like an injury to a key bullpen guy. Bang, maybe another one.
If you're going to really sorry, Donnie.
And now you're left without somebody who you have relied upon more or less this season who seems to be pitching some of his best work.
If you're going to try to balance the budget, I don't like it in principle at all, and I wouldn't like it no matter what they did. Martin Perez got paid, what, $8 million this year?
Yeah.
Try to balance the budget with Martin Perez getting shipped out of town.
But the thing I heard about that was no team is going to want him straight up. No team is going to value Martin Perez. You're contending and you don't want him. So
what level of prospect do you have to throw into?
So you'd have
to Harold Ramirez 2.0,
like the Blues traded Kevin Hayes to the Penguins, and St. Louis had to throw in a pick for the Penguins to take
the player.
Harold
Ramirez Liriano thing.
It would be something like that, where the Pirates had to throw in a very, very, very low prospect to get someone to take Perez. It might not even be a good team.
Was it Reese McGuire in that deal too?
Yes. Well, he made some news today.
Yes, he did.
Yes, Rockies pitcher reminded him that he was caught masturbating in a parking lot somewhere, and it caused the benches to clear.
Very profanely and right to his face. Which, I mean, as far as insults go, if you're Reese McGuire, you got to expect that one pretty much every night.
Brian on the Bucks. Hello, Brian.
Hey.
Hey.
So I was talking to my son today, and if you could just throw caution to the wind and do whatever you really wanted, what about trading Bednar and maybe another prospect and getting Mayo and then going to the A's and getting Rooker, Miller, and maybe
J.J. Bleda? Oh, getting Butler? No. The A's would not give you Butler.
Well, not give you, but you'd have to pay for it. But we
Which, how many of the almost, how many of your top prospects are you willing to part with?
I don't think
your
the Pirates have enough good prospects to get those guys.
Chandler, Solometo, Johnson, who else?
I don't think that would be enough.
No,
for
I know. I'm just Harrington.
Are you allowed? Are you allowed to trade the kid you just drafted yet? Because you probably would have to do that. I mean, that's just. I mean, I think if you added Rooker and Miller, you would become a team that could win the World Series, but I just don't fathom them or can't fathom them coming up with a package that makes the A's say, we'll
Gotta
do that.
Do that.
Yeah, that rumor about Bednar for Mayo that I heard the Pirates were like, thanks but no thanks on, it's interesting. Like, people in Baltimore have said, oh, no way, the Orioles would never do that trade. And then people in Pittsburgh say, oh, no way, the Pirates would never do that trade. It's funny the way, like, sometimes
I think
things...
for the record, it's much more likely the Orioles wouldn't do that deal. I know he's
really?
Blocked. Well, I just think that a guy who could play technically either corner infield spot...
I mean, the
with
Indians
that kind
did
of power...
trade Brian Giles for Ricardo Rincon. It's the same sort of situation.
Actually, right? It's more egregious because that was Rincon was a setup man, just a lefty one out guy. But that's
that
also
worse.
But that's also seen as a very bad trade by the Indians back then.
Yeah.
I just think a guy who can play both infield corner spots and has obvious major power that should translate to the bigs and has a full years of team
should
control.
Translate to the bigs. Is
I'm
not...
aware. I am aware. I am aware. Don't even say it. But that would be
Kevin
in theory,
Newman
more
was
valuable.
Supposed to translate to the bigs
was
after
he, though?
Hitting 900 and.
Was he, though? Because
Keith
Law said his hit tool was the best in his draft, and then I think Keith Law was proven wrong on that, but I don't want Keith to hear that because he'd get very annoyed with us.
Keith Law, I think, reads 100 books a year.
Well, yeah, Keith Law always struck me as a guy who was obviously extremely intelligent, but not shy about letting you know that Keith Law was intelligent.
Bobby in Brookline is next. Hello, Bob.
Hey, so Chisholm, I mean, he wouldn't make me jump for joy necessarily. But from that list you read, I like Winker a lot. I don't know necessarily where he'd fit, but I like
field.
Him the best out of all those names.
He'd play right field for you, and you'd still have a center. You'd still have a center field issue. You'd still have Sawinski out there. Would you be okay with that?
I mean, yeah, if he can get his bat back, I guess.
Yeah, if he can get his bat back, I think somebody shipped it to Mars, dude, and not Pennsylvania, the Red Planet. He's not getting it back. He stinks.
He was good last night.
Okay. What are we doing? He was good last night. Thank you.
No. I'm still obsessing over last night's game.
I know. You
last
said a
night's
perfect game.
Last night's game, just being there, outside the stadium, it felt like an opening day, and then inside it felt like a playoff game. That's the best way I can describe it. The amount of foot traffic and buzz around the ballpark, and then once in there for a night game with all the fans.
Did you get recognized yesterday at the park on your way down and in before you got to the press box where everyone
I tipped my cap. I doffed it a few times.
You doffed it to people?
I did.
There was doffing?
Yes.
I went to the store right after the show. I had to grab a couple of groceries. Guy, I believe by the name of Cyprian, stopped me because he said, hey, Mulsey. And I was like, yeah, man. He goes, I just got done listening. I said, cool, thanks for listening. I said, what's your name? He hesitated because I guess Cyprian, not a normal name for people to have. I said, oh, well, thanks for listening, dude. And then he goes, love that Donnie football.
There you go.
He says, I love Donnie
Man
football.
Of the people.
I said, I'm going to tell him that you said that. Look at that big guy. They don't mention him. They mention you.
He's lovable.
Well, I owe him a thank you.
The only time Donnie got in trouble is when he said Bob Nutting was a better owner than Art Rooney. Short of that, you're pretty much on a... close to undefeated streak with our listeners. That was the one time he seemed to piss people off. I really can't think of another one. Actually, maybe when he said Cam Sutton shouldn't have been signed, there was a little bit of a reaction to that. But
like a Twitter blowback?
Yeah, not a lot, though.
But he was, that's a fully defensible and understandable position to take.
You don't think saying Bob Nutting is a better owner than Art Rooney is a very defensible position to take?
I got what he was getting at there. I understood like what he was trying to convey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's one that if you're going to look at the overall resumes and trophy cases, that's going to stand up to a lot of scrutiny in court. But then again, I am sitting here carrying on this conversation with a man who's got, you're like one of those old timey boxers where they say like so-and-so is one of the best boxers ever, but he fought like six times a year. The guy had a record of like 229, 56, and 4. Something like that. Like, oh yeah, those old guys lost all the time, but they were right more than they were wrong. That's pony in opinions. You're like Harry Greb.
Harry Greb?
One of the best boxers ever to live.
Donnie, did you know who Harry Greb was?
Actually, yes, because I don't think it's still back here. There was
from Pittsburgh,
there
by
was
the way.
A book back here for
about
like
Harry
a year.
Greb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Harry Greb just on the cover.
Nicknamed
putting up
the,
his dukes.
The Pittsburgh Windmill, the Smoke City Wildcat, and the Pittsburgh Bearcat.
Mike Tomlin delayed in talking to reporters, so we will not have Tomlin tidbits here as he was going to set the mood for Steelers training camp. The first practice is tomorrow, even though we spent a big bulk of today talking about the Pirates, their win over the Cardinals and the trade deadline. So we come back. We still have these tickets to give away for a big event next month. Fill the phone lines. We got 8 lines open for people to win these tickets. You could talk about the Pirates at the trade deadline. You just heard John Heyman say the Pirates, he predicts that they will trade for Jazz Chisholm and bring back Josh Bell. How would that make you feel? 412-928-9370. Would that be enough? Would that pacify you? Would that placate you? Would that make you say the Pirates did what was required of them at the deadline? 412-928-9370.
Well, there's players certainly that we will value really highly, and that we're less likely to talk about unless what we're talking about is really impactful, you know, to our major league team, current and future. And there's lots of shades of gray, you know. So there's some players on our major league team that, you know, we're not going to talk about, but generally we try to stay away from the idea that there's any single player that we can't talk about, but we value some of those players really highly, and that may mean it's unlikely.
Ben Cherington on the topic of trading a top five prospect and pretty much saying there's not really many untouchables out there on our team or in our system. There are guys that he made it sound like would be a waste of time to discuss. Paul Skeens. Jared Jones.
I would think.
Mitch Keller.
I would also think.
O'Neal Cruz.
I would hope.
Brian Reynolds.
Again, you would think. How much appeal is Reynolds going to have at his age? He's price fixed.
I think
he's
a lot.
Very good, but.
I think a lot.
Is he going to age well into his 30s, too?
I mean, why aren't we asking that question about Brent Rooker?
We are. Oh. That's why he might be worth so little in.
Well, I think Brent Rooker is. Because he's such a late bloomer, I think that most people have it in their heads based on where a guy was drafted or how his career goes in his early 20s, whether or not he's going to be a good player or not. And the fact that it took him until he was 28 or 29 years old to start being a productive major leaguer, I think, is what scares people off.
Who's the best MLB-er ever relative to draft pedigree? Piazza?
Well, he was drafted as a favorite to his dad because his dad was friends with Tommy Lasorda. Mike Piazza grew up rich. His dad owned several car dealerships. And Ted Williams would personally come to his house and watch him take batting practice.
Man, the Dodgers had to feel like they really got away with one there. We did this as a favor, and all of a sudden the guy is like unbelievable.
And then Piazza and Lasorda, I think, never like let them forget it. Like, I'm the reason why you guys have this great catcher. He would brag about it all the time. And then Piazza from there did an episode of Baywatch where he was practicing his swing on the beach.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And it got Pam Anderson's attention. You ever seen that Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee show? There was one that came out a couple years ago
or something.
Like no, it was not like a documentary. It was.
I mean,
think,
I've seen them performing.
There was actors,
on
I believe,
film together.
In it. You have? I know that's out there, but I didn't know that you had watched it.
I mean, I'm familiar with the material.
What's that mean?
I've seen it,
and
it's a performance of a lifetime for both.
Was it a one-time viewing?
It was under 3. It was like one, two, or three. It's three or less.
Donnie, do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I've never actually watched it, but I'm aware of the...
Yeah, I'm aware of it, but I've never gotten around to watching it, actually.
Just make just carve out some time.
I haven't checked that one off the to-do list
It's been decades. It's probably been close to two decades.
Do you ever think about starting an OnlyFans?
No. Can honestly say I've never thought about starting an OnlyFans. Whatever happened to Plexico Burress's OnlyFans?
Well,
remember
that because
one?
I was talking to somebody today, actually, at the gym who said that a friend has an OnlyFans, never has to do anything, keeps clothes on, makes millions of dollars.
What does the friend do? Dispense financial advice that's really good?
I think just put on swimwear and stuff.
So this woman just puts on a bikini, gallivants around in front of the camera. Does she interact with the people?
I'm guessing she does.
And then she's so attractive that she's making millions of dollars.
Or personality? I don't know.
Ah, it's her personality.
Maybe it's the total package.
I'm going to read James Joyce's Ulysses in a string bikini.
Yeah, there are some people out there that I would pay to see do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Care to share any of those names?
I think I'd watch that, what's the, not Jimbo Sweeney.
What's the girl? Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, maybe. I could see that. 412-928-9370. Garrett is in Collier. Hello, Garrett.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Garrett.
I think, like, guy called in earlier saying that he's not high on Jazz Chisholm. I'm high on anyone that's hitting over a buck 80 at the plate this year. I don't understand that. Especially if we can get him for prospects, not messing up the bullpen at all. I don't know how you guys feel on that.
So if they traded for Jazz Chisholm and that's all the Pirates did at the deadline, would you feel like they got the job done? Yes or no?
Yes.
Did they understand the assignment? You're saying yes.
What kind of a letter grade would you give that? If that was their deadline, that's it. What letter grade does that get from you?
If it doesn't hurt the bullpen, B minus. But I'm cool with that this year, honestly.
All right. Thanks, Garrett.
I give Garrett credit. He said he would be happy with it. Then he gave it B minus. But that's because he understands that anything above a C is an above average piece of work.
The Chisholm numbers are good. 13 homers, 47 RBIs, 21 steals.
He's got a little bit of home run.
736 OPS.
You know what I'd wonder about him as a lefty bat? Does he thrive at PNC Park because he plays in that cavern down there? It's still hard to hit home runs in Miami, is it not? It's a
when I went down there for a
Pirates-Marlins
game, the 50-50, I swear to God, was less than a Pine Richland football game.
Well, there are probably fewer people there than at a Pine Richland football game.
It was a weeknight. And they have a Clevelander club out in left field, or at least they used to.
Yeah.
And there were more Pirates fans out there than Marlins fans.
Again, extremely believable.
Here is my good friend, in enemy territory, Mike in Maryland. Hello, Mike.
What's going on, boys?
Good to talk to you again, Mike.
Hey, what's going on? I did want to touch on the Skeens game because I feel like Kutch and Grandall should be behind Skeens some type of present in the fact of just to say sorry because, you know, they're not two of the younger guys on the team and they should know. But I don't know if I heard this wrong, but on the broadcast, when Grandall had a guy at second and he said that Grandall was not known for being able to put bunts down. I don't know how you can't be able to put a bunt down and get the guy to third.
He was at first. I think Connor Joe led off with a single and he was trying to bunt him over into scoring
correct
position.
Yeah, he was at first because it turned into a double play.
Yep.
Correct. But I'm talking about in the fifth inning.
That was another opportunity to do that, yes.
So once he led off with a double,
yep,
and then
right
all said he couldn't bunt, and then Kutch popped out for the 57th time in the game.
Yep.
I mean, they're supposed to be the vets. I mean, you're talking about they should know going into the game. Three probably gets you a win. Two, maybe. I mean, I just don't understand how that.
The weird double-edged sword of Grandall, Mike, is that it's clear Skeens likes pitching to him. He's morphed into his personal
catcher.
So we
just have to put up with all the crap that is Yasmani Grandal and everything else besides.
It's an open-ended question, though.
No, I know that. I'm saying.
But do we have to? Like, would he? If he wasn't his catcher, I could ask both of you, Mike and Pony. Like, If he wasn't his catcher, would it really affect Skeens' performance?
I don't think so.
Are you willing to roll the dice?
I don't think
so. Then you should not want him to catch at all.
No, and I agree. Say he does want him to catch. That's fine dandy. Throw him 3,000 balls in the cage until he can put a bunt down. I mean, it can't be that hard. I mean,
The foul tips for strikeouts that he drops, Mike? That's the other thing defensively with him that drives
it's
me
happened
nuts.
At least twice in games this year that's
it's blatantly obvious that Bart is not ready to catch, or they don't want Bart to catch Skeens, because in that eighth inning situation last night, they didn't pinch hit Grandal with Bart because they knew that Skeens was coming out to pitch the ninth inning. If Skeens was done and they were going to go to Kyle Nicholas in the ninth inning,
flip Bart out there.
Bart would have been pinch hitting for Grandal in the eighth inning last night. So, yeah, like when you make it black and white and I have to pick one or the other, Paul Skeens wants Yasmani Grandal. Does he get Yasmani Grandal? My answer is yes. That's how much power he has already as a rookie.
The power of Skeens. Absolute Skeens.
Yes. Here is Sal in Bridgeville. I used to live in Bridgeville. Hello, Sal.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, man.
So, basically, I really don't think the Pirates are exactly in the position right now to go for, you know, a guy like Rooker or someone like that that's more so going to be temporary versus down the road. I think Chisholm is more of a good fit in regards to, you know, you have control and he's a good player offensively and defensively. And when you have 900 middle infielding prospects, you know, it's going to be a little bit easy to sleep over getting rid of one of them for someone you already know is going to be good.
They do. Thank you, Sal. I'm going to put you on hold because you just won two tickets to Lou Hayes Field to see the Pony League World Series August 9th through August 14th. And I think I will be attending the game Sunday, August 11th, when the Washington team takes the field as an underdog because it's a local team in an international tournament.
Are you going to attempt to give the Washington manager some tips and pointers?
No, but I'm already predicting they win their first game.
Because of you being there.
I just have a good feeling about it.
You had a great feeling about Paul Skeens last night. You thought he was going to make baseball history.
Yeah, that's because we had Dallas Braden on the show, and he had pitched a perfect game, and I thought it was serendipitous that on the day Skeens was starting, we had someone who had thrown a perfect game on.
So now you believe in serendipitous occurrences.
I do. You don't? Do you believe in fate?
I'll tell you what, if you believe in serendipity, I'd like to maybe have somebody on the show one day who just signed a new record contract the day I'm up for a new contract here.
Do you feel like...
Do I believe in fate? No.
Do you believe in deja vu?
Yes, actually.
Do you believe in...
What is there to believe in deja vu that like you've had the same thought or experience at the same time in the same situation? There's nothing like sinister. It's just...
Yeah, I don't think it's sinister.
Yeah, I've felt deja vu many times in my life. Do I believe in...
Do you think that means that you're like, you've already lived this life
no,
before
it's just
and you're
I've
living
been,
it again?
I've been in this scenario before and happened to have said or thought the exact same thing at like the exact same spot. Almost just like a freaky coincidence, not like I've lived this life. I think Doran said once he believes in reincarnation.
He did. He said that he's already been like a major actor or something like that.
Yeah, I find reincarnation to be by far the hardest one to buy into.
Amanda thinks that there's something to it. Like, she believes there's a chance she comes back as an animal.
Okay, but why does nobody ever think that in their previous life they were just like some jackass that everyone hated? It's always like, I was an actor, I was a ship captain.
That was actually one of the few scenes in Bull Durham with Susan Sarandon and Kevin Costner that I tolerated, was when they had that discussion.
I've never seen the movie.
They were eating breakfast the day after they had a night full of sex and drugs, and they were eating breakfast in the kitchenette the next day, and they were talking about reincarnation, and that was Kevin Costner's exact point. Why is it people never, like, why don't people believe in a past life?
Just,
they were
whatever. I just was a random...
A farmer on hard times.
Or just why... Not even that. Not even like I lived either a very hard life or a very great life. Why is it never just I was the most average person?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.